I woke up when Fort Hill's steps drew near. I kept my eyes closed, half hoping that if I didn't seem to waken, he would go away. Instead, he settled a couple of feet down the pew from me and remained patiently quiet. The act wasn't working. I opened my eyes and looked at him. "What happened?" he asked quietly. I pressed my lips together and looked away. "It's all right," Fort Hill said quietly. "If you wish to tell me, I'll speak of it to no one." "Maybe I don't want to talk to you," I said. "Of course," he said, nodding. "But my offer stands, should you wish to talk. Sometimes the only way to carry a heavy burden is to share it with another. It is your choice to make." Choices. Sometimes I thought it would be nice not to make any choices. If I never had one, I could never screw it up. "There are things I don't care to share with a priest," I told him, but I was mostly thinking out loud. He nodded, he took off his collar, and set it aside. He settled back into the pew, reached into his jacket, and drew out a slender silver flask. He opened it, took a sip, and offered it to me. "Then share it with your bartender." That drew a faint, snorting laugh from me. I shook my head, took the flask, and sipped. An excellent smooth scotch. I sipped again, and I told him what happened at the convention and how it had spilled over onto the Carpenter household. He listened. We passed the flask back and forth. I finished by saying, "I sent those things right to her door. I never meant it to happen." "Of course not," he said. "It doesn't make me feel any better about it." "Nor should it," he said. "But you must know that you are a man of power." "How so?" "Power," he said, waving a hand in an all-encompassing gesture. "All power is the same. Magic, physical strength, economic strength, political strength, it all serves a single purpose. It gives its possessor a broader spectrum of choices. It creates alternative courses of action." "I guess," I said, "so." "So," he said, "you have more choices, which means that you have much improved odds of making mistakes. You're only human. Once in a while, you're going to screw the pooch." "I don't mind that," I said, "when I'm the only one who pays for it." "But that isn't in your control," he said. "You cannot see all outcomes. You couldn't have known that those creatures would go to the Carpenter house." I ground my teeth. "So? Daniel's still hurt. Molly could be dead." "But their condition was not yours to ordain," Fort Hill said. "All power has its limits." "Then what's the point?" I snarled, suddenly furious. My voice bounced around the chapel in rasping echoes. "What good is it to have power enough to kill my friend's family, but not power enough to protect them? What the hell do you expect from me? I've got to make these stupid choices. What the hell am I supposed to do with them?" "Sometimes," he replied, his tone serious, "you just have to have faith." I laughed, and it came out loud and bitter. Mocking echoes of it drifted through the vast chamber. "Faith," I said. "Faith in what?" "That things will unfold as they are meant to," Fort Hill said. "That even in the face of an immediate ugliness, the greater picture will resolve into something all the more beautiful." "Show me," I spat. "Show me something beautiful about this. Show me the silver fucking lining." He pursed his lips and mused for a moment. Then he said, "There's a quote from the founder of my order. There is something holy, something divine, hidden in the most ordinary situations. And it is up to each one of you to discover it." "What's that supposed to mean?" I asked. "That the good that will come is not always obvious, nor easy to see, nor in the place we would expect to find it, nor what we personally desire. You should consider that the good being created by the events this night may have nothing to do with the defeat of supernatural evils or endangered lives. It may be something very quiet, very ordinary." I frowned at him. "Like what?" He finished off the little flask and rose. He put it away and put his collar back on. I'm afraid I'm not the one you should ask. He put a hand on my shoulder and nodded toward the altar. But I will say this. I've been on this earth a fair while, and one way or another, this too shall pass. I have seen worse things reverse themselves. There is yet hope for Molly, Harry. We must strive to do our utmost and to act with wisdom and compassion, but we must also have faith that the things beyond our control are not beyond his. I sat quietly for a minute, and I said, You almost make me believe. He arched an eyebrow. But? I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if it's possible for me. The corners of his eyes wrinkled. Then perhaps you should try to have faith that you might one day have faith. His fingers squeezed and then released my shoulder. He turned to go. Padre, I said. He paused. You won't tell Charity. He turned his head and I could see sadness in his profile. No, you aren't the only one too afraid to believe. Sudden footsteps clattered into the chapel, and Alicia hurried in, accompanied by Mouse. The big gray dog sat down and stared up at the balcony. Alicia, panting, looked up. Father?
Here,
Forthill said. Come quick, she said. Mama said to tell you Daniel's awake.